It's episode 9, the penultimate episode. And Andrew, this time I don't want any funny business, all right? I want you fully clothed. I'm not getting pied in the face. I don't want you to call me any names or read any fan mail that's not actually fan mail. I just want a nice, sensible introduction. And you know what? I'm this close to hiring an American actor to create an overproduced, overdramatic introduction for us.
Pal, I'm sorry. I actually got you a present this week just to say congratulations on almost making it to the end of season 2.
Aw, thanks, Pal. Wait, what do you mean almost? Andrew, this is ticking. Why are you putting on protective goggles?
In this episode, we find out what's working right now in Facebook from the Queen herself, Mari Smith. Pete meets his long-lost brother in the pub, and Mike Morrison gets angry. Let's give it some gusto. I'm trying to do an accent. Let's give it some gusto. It's the Andrew and Pete Show.
Blankety tweet. Blankety tweet.
Hey, Mark Asquith, welcome to Blankety Tweet. Here's how we play.
In this round, we've gone way back in the Twitter time machine to find tweets that our contenders have all but forgotten about. But do they know what word or phrase we have blanked out of their own tweet? There's a point per correct answer. So let's find out.
This is going to be game over.
You've been tweeting for a long time. I think yours is one of the oldest Twitter accounts we were looking at.
All right, lads, leave it out and I'm getting great.
Tweeting since 1994.
Okay, this is going to be fun.
Right.
Okay, this is going to be fun. Okay, the first blankety tweet from February the 16th. What did your teachers think of you as a kid? What was the trend within your school reports? Mine? Spend less time making people blank. Mark?
Peanut butter sandwiches, maybe. Angry, upset. Certainly making my teachers less upset. One of my teachers once called me a potential criminal at age 7. Wow. So thank you for that one. And then later on, I'll tell you a brief story. I did once get arrested for burglary as well, on the back of that. I was 200 miles away and got arrested for burglary somewhere where I wasn't.
As a 7-year-old kid?
No, I wasn't much older. I was like 9. No, I was 18 and I got hauled in. They were like, you've been burgling. I was like, I was at the cinema in Brighton. What's that all about? So I think that would be making people laugh, in particular Mark Galloway. We used to have a riot all the time. So I'm going to go with the word laugh.
Correct.
Ding, ding. Well done. Straight in there.
That is amazing. I hope you've gone back to that teacher and told her how successful you are now.
I pushed her down the stairs.
Yeah.
I didn't do that. She lives in a bungalow. That's ridiculous. I did not do that.
You tried.
Yeah, plan foiled. Some criminal you are.
She's lovely, actually. It turns out it's one of those things where you go back to school like 10 years later, you know, you do the whole thing and everyone's just much smaller than you remember. So this big domineering teacher was saying I was going to be a potential criminal, and then she's just a nice woman who was just doing a job. So now I feel terrible.
You're way too forgiven. I would like take that one to my grave.
Forgiven. Mrs. Schofield, you're forgiven. I love you really.
Right, okay. Let's go into tweet number 2. Tweet number 2 comes from the 26th of August, 2010. And you tweeted, at Jason Manford, it was all the blanks that are normally licking their balls. They tuned in. Got to support your own, you know.
Oh, my word. I think I remember going to see this thing. But I have no idea what that would be. So 2010, where was my mind at? I'm going to say something like, can I say French people? It won't have been French people. I can't imagine it have been that one.
Close, but you're not really.
No.
At Jason Manford, it was all the blanks that are normally licking their balls. They tuned in. Got to support your own, you know?
I don't know. Who licks their own balls? Who does that? I mean, I can't. What can I say? I can't say family members.
He wore what?
I was going to say dog, because dogs just do that. I'm going to have to go with dog. He's going to have to go with dog.
Final answer?
Yeah.
So close. It was cats.
No, cats don't do that anymore. They've changed.
I feel like dogs are way more suited to dogs.
Yeah, me too. What was I thinking? I'm sorry, dog and cat lovers.
No wonder his head didn't reply.
I know. If I'd have said dogs, he'd have been all over that. I'd have been drinking with him tonight.
All right. The one from not too far away. The 28th of August, 2016. When Pete randomly met his blank in the pub. And there is a photo of this.
Oh, I do know the answer to this one. So I'm going to tell a story on this one. We took Pete for a little walk up into a place called Hepworth around Yorkshire.
Can we just clarify that Pete isn't me?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely not you.
I find hilarious.
Yep, it might be, well, or is it? We don't know. We're not going to give that game away.
I'm quite offended that I am named, or your dog is named after me.
So is he, mate. So is he.
I don't want it to be proud or offended.
I feel like Pete is a really good name for a dog.
It's not a dog's name at all.
That's what makes it so good.
He's pretty chill.
This, can we all agree that Pete is not a good dog's name?
Well, I mean, they say that dogs recognize their own sounding name. So, I mean, I could change his name to Feet or Meat or something else, because it would have the same effect and it wouldn't offend you. So I'm going to try and do that tonight. I'm going to dig his birth certificate out, send it off to the town hall, get that changed to Feet. So I'll do that one.
What was his story then?
We took the dog up to a pub in Hepworth near Holmfirth in Yorkshire, and I totally randomly forgot that this was the pub that we actually got Pete from, and he was the runt of the litter. He was like that big when we got him, and now he's just a huge beast of a dog, like the giantest, most craziest looking thing you've ever seen. So we totally got ripped off by that. They were like, yeah, he's going to stay small. And he's not, he's a giant. So we walked into this pub and there's a doppelganger of Pete. And it turns out that actually it is Pete's brother. And it was Pete's brother. That's who we saw. So we had a beer and Pete had a beer with his brother. And yeah, it was a lovely day, actually.
Did they get on?
Yeah, they were a little bit kind of antsy. They got on really well. You could almost tell that they thought they kind of were familiar with each other. Yeah. And then when
they were looking in the mirror.
Yeah, it was really like that. And then when any attention went from me to the other dog, Pete was like, whoa, 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 whoa. So that's when it got a little bit hairy. But yeah, pretty much they got on.
His brother wasn't called Andrew, was he?
That would have been amazing. That would have been amazing if they'd done that.
Let's just pretend.
Yes, he was.
Wow. Okay, so the final blank, the word.
Oh, what was it? Give us that one again, then.
When Pete randomly met his blank in the pub.
Oh, met his brother. Sorry, yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Well done. Boom.
All right, you're doing well. All right, let's go on to the next tweet where you tweeted, feel like mold. Got a FaceTime from the nephew to cheer me up. He said, I look blank. Nice one, kid.
Oh, yeah. My little niece and nephews have got a way of, they just tell you as it is, don't they? You know, they're the ultimate marketers. It's not, there's no campaigns with them. It's just you get what you get. And yeah, it's probably something nice, like ugly. Or overweight, that's always a fun one. That's a natural one from them.
You're on the right
smelly
line.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's have a look. Told me that I looked
feel like mold. Got a FaceTime from the nephew to cheer me up. He said I looked blank.
I'm gonna say something like tired or ugly or something like that. Am I in the right zone?
Word from a kid to say this one. That's what I found when I read this. Yeah.
Oh. I mean, well, that's bizarre then. Maybe it's something like
right lines, but we're going to have to push you for a final answer.
It's just going to have to be something like ugly then. It's going to have to be that. Yeah, ugly.
Okay. He said you looked rough.
Oh, man. That little sod. Wait until I see him later.
That's really harsh.
It is.
Thanks, pal.
You look rough.
Thanks, kid. You're too. How do you know that word?
All right, okay.
All right, final one.
Unfortunately, didn't get that one right, but let's nail this last one. This is from the 28th of July, 2016. I'm working away and he insists on sitting right there. Can't even move my blank. Hashtag Pete.
Can't even move my... Yeah, there'd been a picture from the dog then. Uh-huh. No, he wasn't taking the picture. That'd be weird.
That would have been impressive.
So where would I have been sat? I would have been sat in my little chair, probably, maybe, or on the sofa or something. It's going to be like a leg or an arm, I think. I'm going to say... Maybe it's not. I'm going to say arm. I'm just going to have to go with arm because he's got a habit of sitting and just being on you like that. So I'm going to go with arm.
So, so close. The tweet went, working away and he insists on sitting right here. Can't even move my chair.
Oh, I was sat in the chair. I even mentioned the chair.
I thought you were going to get it there.
I thought you were going to get it. Oh, well, it was
foiled by
so
Pete
well.
Again.
Normal day, buddy.
All right. You didn't do too bad. You got 2 out of 5 there. Congratulations. Well done for playing.
Killer questions.
Ooh. Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Killer Questions. This is the part of the show when the tables are turned and our atomic community asks us some tough questions. Are you ready for this week's question, my friend?
I'm ready because this week it's actually a question from my brother who runs a business called Cleaning for Causes, which is absolutely awesome, and he is smashing it. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he's got to ask us.
Are you a bit nervous what he's going to ask?
I am.
Uh-huh.
My question to you guys is, where do you think you guys would be if you never met? And what do you bring to the table to inspire each other?
Good question. I was kind of hoping for some young Pete dirt there, to be honest.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
I'm glad he didn't do that then. So where do you think you would be if you hadn't have met me?
We were talking about this the other day, funny enough, weren't we? I think I would probably be in some kind of corporate job.
Yeah.
Because we both had the passion for entrepreneurship. And I think we both wanted to start a business. I don't know if we would have gone for it if we didn't meet at university.
I don't think I would have had the balls to go for it if I hadn't had you by my side.
I don't think straight off at least.
Yeah, like even I was applying for like mid internships and stuff like that, thinking, you know, this is never gonna happen. Like it's a pipe dream. Mm-hmm. And then one day you were like, no, like, we can do this. And I remember you being quite angry at me.
I was, actually. I remember that. We had decided to start, and here you were bloody applying for internships.
I know, like, I don't know what was... I just wasn't that confident, and I think you brought that out of me. So you inspired me to do this, and I can't thank you enough for that.
Oh, that's really nice. I'm not going to be angry at you anymore.
Ah, good.
Right, I'm going to drop that 10-year grudge against you just now. Because that was so nice. Yeah, I think I would have probably not... I don't even know if I would have necessarily gone into marketing. I remember, before we met, I was so confused as to what I wanted to be when I grew up. And I was doing business, and I was doing economics, and I had modules of accounting.
Yeah.
And, like, business was always a passion. I just didn't really know what area of business I wanted to go into.
So what do you think inspires each other? What do we both bring to the table? That was the other half of the question.
That's a great question as well. And a lot of people ask us, like, who comes up with the ideas or who does what or who's in charge of this? And might be a little bit of a cop-out answer, but a lot of the time, the ideas aren't necessarily my idea or Pete's ideas. It's always like a conglomeration of both of our viewpoints, which I think is why we work together quite well.
Yeah, because I'll say something like, oh, Andrew, I've got this amazing idea, we should do this. And he's like, yeah, that's pants. That's not good. That is a bad idea. And I'm like, oh. And then he'll say, but if you flip it on its head, I think you've really got something.
Yeah.
We've got a spark there. And I'll say, okay, yeah, actually, if you do that, then that would go really well with this. And then I build on it, and he builds on it, and we go back and forth until finally we have something that actually makes sense, and it is an actual great idea.
Yeah.
And that's where all of our great ideas come from. So we work really well in that sense.
Mm-hmm. Even like this podcast show, I remember I was kind of pushing us to do a podcast for a long time because our community was kind of asking, hey, I want a podcast. Mm. And I was like, it should be a bit like a radio show. And then we had the discussions and like we threw around the ideas for segments and all of that.
Yeah.
But like what the show actually looks like now is by far like both of us.
Yeah, it's come on so far.
And Chris and I from Abrupt Audio.
Yeah, because I didn't want to do a podcast that was just going to be a boring interview show.
Yeah.
And then Andrew's like, okay, well, what if we did it like a radio show? And I said, well, how's that going to work? And how are we going to deliver value? And then he came up with like the segments idea. And then you can see it just develops and develops. So this is why it's really important to have other people in your business or other people that you can get ideas from. That's why we place a lot of value on our Atomic community, on mastermind groups that we're in, and other kind of one-to-one meetups and friends that we have in the business arena.
Yes.
Which is great.
Where do we inspire each other? That's interesting as well. Go on, you go first.
Okay, I think for me, the good thing, like what Andrew brings to the table, one of the real things that drives us is his, actually comes from his impatience, funnily enough.
I am quite impatient.
He's really impatient, but that means that we're constantly improving, constantly getting better, constantly putting more out there, and constantly thinking of ways to do things faster and more efficiently, which actually has drove our business much further, really fast. And people kind of think, you know, how do you get so much done? Or why, like, you've came out of nowhere. Yeah. And it's often because Andrew's pushed us to do it faster. Whereas I would probably just dawdle all day doing whatever.
I feel like with that impatience, though, I do get a lot more frustrated than you do. And I think what you bring to the table is maybe a bit more optimism or a bit more promoting of us.
Yeah.
Like, if we're having, like, a down day or something hasn't quite gone to plan, I think I kind of beat myself up a lot more than you beat yourself up.
Yeah.
So you're really good at kind of bringing like life back into the office.
I'll be there to say like, don't worry. Like, I know that's not happened as quickly as we wanted to, but you know, we're going to double down and we've got some time here. We can, you know, we're going to make this work. And
yeah,
having that optimism is really important when things aren't going as well as you'd like.
Yeah.
Prince
Almost is also a much better salesperson than me. So sales calls, that's why you've probably spoke to Pete.
Because, I do all the sales calls and the welcome calls. And I do any kind of call. But Andrew does all the accountancy stuff. So
that's true.
That's why he's so much richer than me. for some reason, he's got this like amazing Ferrari. And I'm just like just driving a banger. Don't know what's going on there.
No,
I have to look into that.
I'll have to take it up with...
The accounts department. All right, great killer question, and I hope that's maybe inspired a few people as well to think a bit more creatively and, you know, join other communities or get people involved to thrash out ideas and support one another.
I'm feeling all warm and fuzzy inside, to be honest.
Me too.
After that one. Bring it
me
here,
too.
Pal.
Bring it here.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Aww. Hey guys, if you're loving this podcast, why not also hop over to YouTube, Andrew and Pete TV, and subscribe for more marketing entertainment.
Pick your poison.
Alright, pick your poison. Janet Murray, I hope you're ready. Here's the rules.
In this round, we give our contenders two awful, nightmarish scenarios for their business, and they have to decide which they would rather have.
Ready to play.
Alright, pick your poison number one. No one ever sees your posts on LinkedIn again. Now, I know you get a ton of reach on your LinkedIn posts because you're killing it on LinkedIn. And I can't go onto LinkedIn without what do you see? And Janet Murray's face all over everything. I know you're doing really well on that. Pick your poison number two. No one ever sees your posts again in your Facebook group. And I know you have a private.
You have to choose which is the worst option for me.
You have to choose which you would rather have and why.
Okay, well, I think it's got to be my Facebook group because my Facebook group has got 12,500 members in it and I've worked very hard to build up that group. My group, they're like my community that I've built up and they've kind of chosen to join my group. So I guess the LinkedIn people, I'm kind of just like picking them up over there. And they are my people, but they're not my people. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So you'd rather have no one ever see your post again on LinkedIn?
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, the Facebook group must be quite important for you and your business.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. That's where lots of people, that's where they first find me and where I first meet them and chat to them, and they get exposed to my blogs and podcasts and start to build a relationship. And ultimately, a lot of those people, well, it's 12,500, but a lot of them end up being customers. And yeah, I can actually kind of trace that back. Often I might have been chatting to somebody in my Facebook group for like months or even years, and then suddenly they pop up in my membership or they buy one of my courses. But with LinkedIn, it's, I guess that's more of a kind of like long-term relationship. With LinkedIn, I feel like, you know, it's more of a kind of fling over LinkedIn.
LinkedIn fling. Yeah. Not fling before, but maybe.
Yeah, I did. I do have sometimes some men that send me slightly dodgy messages on LinkedIn. That doesn't happen.
Well, maybe that's a reason to get rid of it. Yeah.
I apologize for that.
Yeah, was that you? I did have a man once who sent me a little while ago, you might remember it, but just before I spoke at the Youpreneur Summit, I put quite a now famous post up about what dress I should wear. So should I wear the pink dress or the blue dress, which did very well. One man took the time out of his day to email me and say I should wear the blue dress and I should also wear silver strappy high heels and silver eyeshadow as well. Blue eyeshadow, I think it was. That wasn't you, was it?
Blue eyeshadow with a pink dress. Wow.
The blue dress, yeah, matching.
Oh, blue eyeshadow with the blue dress.
Sandals, high-heeled sandals. He was very specific about the shoes. He was obviously a shoe man.
Oh, wow. 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 That probably was Pete.
Wrong answers. Welcome to Wrong Answers, Carlos Gill. Here's how we play.
In Wrong Answers, we're going to ask our contenders some quick-fire questions they should know the answer to. But in order to score a point, they actually have to answer the questions wrong. They have 30 seconds to get as many wrong answers as possible, and the points are given for each wrong answer.
All right, okay. That sounds good.
All right,
right. Pete's going to have timers and counters in and top up these as we go.
All right, are we ready?
Steady? Let's do it.
Go.
What product do you put on your hair?
Hairspray.
What is your show Real Talk about?
It's about arts and science.
How many Spice Girls songs do you know from start to finish?
I know all of them.
Do you ever use Snapchat?
I've never even heard of Snapchat.
Who's your hero?
Darth Vader.
How do you warm up before a speaking gig?
Time. Wow, that was hard.
You didn't do too bad. You got one, two, three, four. You got five wrong answers.
Congratulations.
Hiya!
Or lower.
We're about to play Higher or Lower with Tim Schmoyer. Here's how we do it.
In a game of Higher or Lower, we pit followers against subscribers against likes. How well do our contenders know the followings of top brands, people, and themselves? Guessing correctly wins a point.
All right. Okay. I'm just going to kick this off with your channel, Video Creators YouTube channel, which has a whopping 366,000 subscribers, which is amazing. Congratulations on that, by the way.
Thank you.
And we're going to pit that against a huge global brand, Amazon. So does Amazon have more subscribers than video creators? Is it higher or lower?
I'll say lower. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Can it be Amazon, huh?
Well,
I don't know.
That is the right answer, because you do actually currently have more subscribers than Amazon. Amazon comes in at 281.
Yeah, the reason I guess that is because a lot of those big brands don't do YouTube very well. So,
all right then. Okay. So we've got Amazon on 281,000. What about BMW? Is that higher or lower than Amazon?
BMW, I'd go higher.
Yeah, that was a quick choice. Mm-hmm. It's correct. It's correct. It has 375,000 followers, subscribers. Amazing.
Cool. Channels.
You know your channels.
I don't know the channels, but I know how brands think about YouTube, and I know a little bit. Yeah. So.
Okay. So BMW has 375,000, but what about GoPro? How many YouTube subscribers does GoPro have? Is it higher or lower?
Much higher. Yeah, much higher.
Much higher. Correct.
Yeah. Congratulations. 5.5 million subscribers. Yeah. That's impressive. Yeah. That's
nice.
Impressive.
They have some good videos.
In the millions, I wasn't sure how high. Uh-huh.
Yeah. But what about Lego? Does Lego have a higher or lower YouTuber subscriber count than GoPro?
I'm going to say they have a sizable, but I don't think it's higher than GoPro. I think it's lower.
You are smashing this. You are really smashing this. Lego comes in at 4.7 million, so just slightly under GoPro.
But the next one's really hard. Okay, so Disney. Disney, do they have a higher or lower following than Lego?
Lower than Lego. Lower?
Mm-hmm. You know it. It's true.
Woo! You know it. Full house.
I worked with Disney on their YouTube channel, so that one's a little unfair.
Well, you should be getting them higher.
Yeah,
they started off at zero. Congratulations, Tim. You do know your YouTube channel, so you got full house on that round.
Woohoo! Yay, 100%.
Hello, is that Mr. Liam Neeson?
I don't know who you are.
That's all right. My name's Ant, and I bet you can't guess what I want. And if you can't guess, you've got to tell me what you have.
I don't know what you want, but what I do have are a very particular set of skills.
Oh, so do I.
Skills I've acquired over a very long career.
Yes, me too. You see, I make podcasts like this one you're listening to right now. And that's why I'm calling, to say if you ever fancied making one yourself, Mr. Neeson, you could find me on Instagram at Ant McGinley.
I will look for you.
Oh, good.
I will find you.
Well, if not, don't worry. You can always try Twitter. I'm there at Ant-Man Loves You.
And I will kill you.
Right. Is now not a good time? Shall I just call back later? Oh, I think he's gone. I'll put that one down as a maybe.
Squirt Gun Justice.
Hello, Mr. Mike Morrison. We're about to play Squirt Gun Justice. Here's what you need to know.
In Squirt Gun Justice, it's Andrew versus Pete. Each of us has to read out an annoying marketing habit wrote by the other person, and our contender has to decide who is worst. Inspired by our current champion, Jay Akunzo, the loser gets squirted in the face.
Hello, my name is Andrew, and I like to add you to lots of random Facebook groups, giving you a ton of notifications. That is annoying. Yeah, that is really annoying.
That's the worst.
Right now.
I'm a bit nervous now, man.
You should be.
If I can make you angrier.
If unless Peter's like actually involves somebody dying, then you're about to get wet, I'm telling you.
Okay, what have you wrote? My name is Pete, and I think watch this quick video applies to a 20-minute video.
That's annoying, right?
It's annoying, but also it's kind of funny if it's not happening to you.
He's like picking up the water pistol like he knows his
what? I don't think there's any contest in that. People adding you. I don't understand why Facebook still allow it. It's so crazy. But yeah, it's like, especially, it's the serial offenders are the worst. Mm. Like the ones who add you and then you leave. And out of politeness, you don't say to them, listen, dude, you do that again, I'm going to throw a brick at you. And then they add you again and you leave and they add you again. Like, dude.
Wow.
Squirt him, Pete. Squirt him in the face. In the face.
In the face. Wow.
I don't want you to dry. No drying. You live.
That was like a direct shot.
You've got to live with that cold, wet shame on your face. Never invite me to another Facebook group ever.
Well,
you joking?
For that one, mate. You did amazing in that round. Just saying.
Can I have another point?
Oh, good.
Tempted. Minus, see if I can swear that.
Minus 11.
I'll give you a bonus.
So 0 points for that round.
Yeah, bounces out. Okay.
Thank you for playing Squirt Gun Justice.
Hey!
This show is brought to you by Atomic, our membership site that teaches business owners like you to do remarkable online marketing. But if you're not a member, you might want to check out our free Backstreet Box. In every episode of this podcast, we're going to add something new into it that you can use to create remarkable content.
In it already, we have that bonus episode. We have the Canva templates that are going to make sure your social media looks rocking. We have the algorithm hacks. We have the sexy ebook templates. We have how to reach out to influencers and get them to say yes, more importantly. We have the Build a Bloody Good Blog blueprint. We have the ultimate blog promotion checklist. We have a full presentation on how to become a content machine by repurposing. And if you're not feeling inspired enough, guys, then in the Backstreet Box this week, we have 20 awesome marketing ideas from real life companies that you can go and get inspiration from. So, to get access to all of that, you should know this by now. Go to backstreetbox.com or click the link in the show notes. Or if you're feeling, what are you feeling, fancy, go to our Facebook Messenger at m.me/AndrewandPete and type Backstreet, and our Facebook bot will send you a special message to get you, yes you, access.
Everybody,
yeah,
go down all now,
yeah,
everybody, backstreetbox.com, backstreetbox.com.
Now it's time for the quickest marketing tip of the week. Starring our amazing guest expert, Andrea.
Use custom audiences in Facebook ads.
And that was the quickest marketing tip from our guest expert of the week. Hey guys, it's Pete here. If you're enjoying this, we'd love to get to know you too. Why not come over to our Facebook page and just drop us a message?
Tool, don't drool.
Hey, Subi Zimmerman, welcome to Tool, Don't Drool. I hope you're not feeling too drooly. Here's how we play. Tool, Don't Drool.
Tool, Don't Drool is a round where our contenders tell us their favorite marketing tool of the moment and why. But they have to do it with a mouthful of water. 5 points are on offer if they manage to tell us their favorite tool, but there's a huge -5 points for any swallowing, dribbling, or drooling.
I am used to chugging water all day long.
Okay.
Exactly. Golden rule number one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hydrate, baby. Okay.
Awesome. Okay. So what is, Sue, if you'd like to take a mouthful of water, and if you could just tell us what is your favorite marketing tool at the moment and why?
That's a big mouthful.
Planoly. Planoly is a scheduling tool. What? I have to spit it out? I'm not going to ruin my mic.
You have to keep it.
You have to keep it in your mouth.
Wow.
You must have thought that was way too easy.
Yeah, you kind of swallow it.
Planoly.
Okay, why?
Because it's a scheduling tool for Instagram.
You swallowed.
No, I still had water in my mouth. I am not getting water on my vest and my shirt.
Okay, tell us more about Planoly.
Planoly is a great scheduling tool so that you can organize your grid, schedule your post, and look at your analytics, or even schedule your Instagram stories so that you save time not having to do it in the moment every day.
Cool. So you can schedule your Instagram stories on Planoly as well?
Yes.
Nice. How does that work? Do you create them and upload them to Planoly?
Yeah, so we have a graphic designer that does some high-end graphics for stories. Those are the ones that I upload to Planoly. Most of my stories are done in the moment, but the ones that are high, really consistent with the graphic that you might see somewhere else, we have those in Dropbox. So you can upload from Dropbox, you can upload from Google Drive, you can upload from your desktop right into Planoly, and then schedule it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Checking that one out.
Yeah.
The slow fire round.
I'm super excited for this round. This week we have Mari Smith playing the slow fire round. Here's how it works.
In the slow fire round, we slow things down a notch and dig a little deeper. We've got some questions for our contenders, but there's a twist. We're also going to be giving them some swap words that they must swap out with every single answer. Say the wrong word and it's a -point.
would you like to just introduce yourself to all our lovely listeners and tell people what you do and why you rock?
Of course. Hello, greetings. I'm Mari Smith, known as the premier Facebook marketing expert in the world. They call me the Queen of Facebook. I am Scottish Canadian based in San Diego, California, and I work with businesses all over the world to help them with their Facebook marketing.
Nice. You've done that before. All right. Okay. So we're going to ask you the first question, but the first swap word, because you are the queen of Facebook, we're going to swap the word Facebook out. And now, instead of the word Facebook, you have to use the word Bonnie Scotland.
Okay.
For the rest of this round.
For the rest of the round. So instead of Facebook, Bonnie Scotland. Got it?
Got it.
All right. What part of your content marketing strategy has had the biggest impact and why?
The biggest impact of my content marketing has been publishing regularly on Bonnie Scotland in videos, and especially in the last several years doing Bonnie Scott Bonnie Scotland lives. And because we now have this opportunity to have our own television station and broadcast to the world, and there's 2.13 active users around the world on Bonnie Scotland.
Nice. All right, you're doing well.
Okay, you're doing really well.
You are the queen of Bonnie Scotland. Mm-hmm. The next swap word that you are not allowed to say is the word time. Okay? And instead of the word time, we want you to say Canadian bacon. Okay?
Is that the word time? T-I-M-E?
Oh, you just said it.
No, yeah. I'm asking for time. Clarifying!
I'm sorry, we're incredibly harsh in this game.
Okay, fine.
So the question is, with all this content that we have to create for Facebook and all these other social platforms, how do you avoid overwhelm when it comes to marketing your business?
In order to avoid overwhelm in marketing your business, you really have to get very rigorous about managing your Canadian bacon. You ideally, you've divided up the amount of Canadian bacon that you have into, you know, hours, even 15-minute increments of your Canadian bacon, and then you decide and prioritize what you're going to do each day. You can get help, you can delegate, you can use scheduling systems and look at the whole, you know, day or week or month in advance to really save a lot of Canadian bacon.
I love it. You, because I know you are an incredibly busy lady. How far in advance do you actually schedule everything in to do?
So on Twitter, I schedule usually a week in advance, and on LinkedIn, on Google Plus, and then Instagram is much more spontaneous. And then Facebook, I don't do a lot of forward planning because I like to publish newsworthy, very, very top of mind content. And I will literally do my homework at the last minute and research, you know, what needs to be communicated.
Wow. Okay. Nice.
Cool. That's awesome. All right. So we can't say the word Facebook. We have to say Bonnie Scotland. We can't say the word time. We have to say Canadian bacon. And finally, the final swap word is marketing. And instead of marketing, we now have to say California.
Okay.
So California, not marketing. All right.
Oh, I didn't realize all the rounds were run on. I thought it was just one individual. So now I can use all three swap words.
Yeah.
Three swap words. It gets tough.
So instead of the M word, I say
California. Instead of time, Canadian bacon. Instead of Facebook, we say Bonnie Scotland.
Okay.
All right. When it comes to your own marketing, what are you working on right now to grow your business?
I am creating a Bonnie Scotland, California course. It's called FAST, F-A-S-T, and that stands for Bonnie Scotland Advertising Strategy Training. And I'm basically helping small and medium-sized business owners with their California to be able to, to generate more reach results and revenue. And I do this predominantly through video, California, and help people to really save as much Canadian bacon as they can earn as much money as they can.
Sounds really good. But how are you marketing that yourself? Like, what are you physically doing to market that?
Video, Facebook Lives. Oh, I said the word Facebook. Bonnie Scotland Lives and Bonnie Scotland Ads. The combo of the two components that I'm teaching in the course. I'm using the exact same elements to market.
So we're talking about maybe like building custom audiences. Okay. building custom audiences through your live videos and then remarketing to those people that have watched it.
Absolutely. So yes, so doing the Bonnie Scotland Lives, building an audience, and then doing the re-California to reach them again, and then using the pixel on my landing page, and then being able to track all the way through the funnel of who is landing on what page and where they are checking out, and maybe where they're getting stuck and what tweaks I need to make.
Yeah. And are you even putting some money behind those initial Facebook Lives?
I do. I have a strategy that I call the Mari Method, and it teaches how to do your Bonnie Scotland, California.
I feel like we're going to need a manual with this podcast at this rate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Could we also talk a little bit about Facebook Watch and how that might come into play with our strategies?
Yeah. So in all of my keynotes so far this year, we're like a full quarter into the year, I have included several slides in my presentation that talk about how Bonnie Scotland is aggressively moving in the world of digital California. And I mean digital streaming television and competing with obviously YouTube, but I don't think they ever will compete per se, but that is their biggest competitor. Yeah. And then also though, but the SVOD, subscription video on demand, is your Amazon Prime, Netflix is number one, Netflix, Amazon, and Hulu. Mm-hmm. So the watch platform on Bonnie Scotland is absolutely one to watch. It's only in the US right now, but marketers around the world need to be paying attention.
Yeah. And we'll be able to hitch our own shows. Have I understood that correctly?
There's a form to fill out. You can only fill out, I believe, if you're in the US so far, but obviously, you know, they're testing Bonnie Scotland, they're testing. Awesome. Getting all the bugs out.
Yeah. Right. We're going to let you say all those words now, Mari, so you can tell all of our listeners where they can find out more about you and what you're up to.
Of course. Yes. So marismith.com is my website. They can find me facebook.com at marismith. My username over there, the one with the blue check. And I'm doing some cool stuff with Messenger also, and at marismith. Twitter at marismith. The only one that is different is Instagram. I'm at mari_smith. Look forward to seeing you.
We need to go find that other Mari Smith and like have a word, don't we? Mari, thank you so much. You're a star when you were playing the Slow Fire Act.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
This week playing for Pete's sake, we have Jen Herman. Jen, this is how this one works.
In episode 10, Pete, i.e. me, is going to read the final scores from a freezing cold bath of ice cubes. However, in this round, each contender has a chance to save me from one of the bags of ice by answering 5 quickfire questions correctly. They get a point per question, but have to get all questions right for Pete's sake.
Oh man, the pressure!
I'm counting on you here, Jen.
Not many people have saved me, so let's try to bring one
back. Oh, okay. No pressure.
Okay, are you ready?
It's quick fire, so let's do this. Okay, I'll count you in. Ready?
Uh-huh.
Ready?
I'm ready.
3, 2, 1, go.
San Diego is in what state?
California.
Pine, oak, and mahogany are types of what material?
Wood.
Name an animal in San Diego Zoo.
Elephant.
Is your name spelt with one N or two?
Two.
And question five, in which sea battle was Mark Antony defeated by Octavian in 31 BC?
Oh, good Lord. I don't know.
Hazard a guess?
What?
No, I have no idea.
Jen, the answer was obviously Actium.
Yeah, obviously.
Oh, of course, obviously.
The famous sea battle, Actium.
Actium in 31 BC. I remember that well.
Back in my day, it was all time. Right.
Well, Jen, you got 4 points, but you didn't quite manage to save Pete.
Sorry, Pete.
If you've enjoyed the show, please leave it a 5-star review in whatever app you use to listen to your podcasts, and we will put you in our wills. Andrew, what's the scores?
This is an important scoreboard, Pete, as we go into our final round. And actually, Mari Smith has gone from leading the first 3 episodes to now being at the bottom of the leaderboard with 1 point. Subi Zimmerman is in 9th place with 6 points. Jen Herman is in joint 7th place with Andrea Val with 8 points. Carlos Gill is in 6th place with 9 points. Janet Murray is in 5th place with 11 points. Mike Morrison and Ian Cleary both have 14 points apiece. Mark Asquith is now in 2nd place with 15 points, but pulling way ahead is Tim Schmoyer, who holds the lead now with 24 points.
Oh my god, is anybody going to catch him? He's like 9 points clear at this point.
But Tim Schmoyer does have the slow fire round to play in the next episode, so who knows, it could be all change at the top.
The tension is unreal. Who needs an espresso? That was the Andrew and Pete show.